Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi there. I'm Lara Marie Shane Halls. Welcome to Lohan Island, a sexy, unique spin-off.
I got it.
Well, I got it.
I want it. I got it. Well? I got it. Well, I got it. Jane, you can't use that one. That's because that's a crazy person. I need to know that I'm being heard. I see it.
Thank you.
I want it. I bought it. I got it.
I got it.
We're talking about a great
show
meme going on right now where someone imposed Val Cherish from The Comeback onto Ariana Grande's Seven Rings.
Truly a genius did that.
Yeah.
That's the work of an artist and should go in the MoMA.
I think it's by the guy named David Levitt. So Instagram, Twitter.
I'm sure it will be everywhere.
It's everywhere now.
Can we talk about one thing really quick, which is Dina Lohan's catfish boyfriend?
Oh, yes. So it was Page Six last week came out. She's currently on Celebrity Big Brother.
She's on Celeb Big Brother. I've heard she's really lovable on it.
Well, I want to watch. It's like her and Candy Burris from The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah. And like some other people.
Yeah. But we don't care.
Yeah. And she's been dating a guy for 5 years.
Who lives in San Francisco, I think.
But she's never seen his face on video. They've never FaceTimed.
No.
And she says she's going to marry him.
And he's like taking care of his mom or something? Like someone is sick that he's close to him?
Isn't that classic?
Yeah.
I feel like there's always a sick person involved with a catfish. I think, or some sort of illness.
Totally. I think Candy Burris in the article was in the... I think it's her. She says, well, why haven't you... Isn't it kind of weird that you haven't FaceTimed him? And she said, well, he's busy taking care of his sick relative. And they're all like, And then Nev
tweeted today, like, the story is crazier than you could have ever imagined.
He did.
I don't know if he's, like, trolling or if he's, like...
He probably got information.
How does he get information? Like, does he have a special Google?
He probably has sources. Is he on Catfish anymore?
I don't know.
Didn't he, like...
He's on Cameo.
Didn't he, like...
Wasn't he a Me Too guy?
Yeah. Also, remember his like horrible elevator photo?
No. What was it?
Okay. So there was a truly unfortunate event where that NFL player was caught on camera like beating his wife in an elevator. And it was like very scary and triggering. And then Nev posted a photo of his, I think it's the elevator in his penthouse or something. And he's standing in it and he has his hand over his heart like he's pledging. And he says, I vow to never... Like no woman will ever be hurt in my elevator, and
I love what went through your head, like
in my own my private elevator.
Like he walked out of his like really nice apartment to his private elevator and was struck by the image of this like horrific abuse and violence, and then thought,
I pledge allegiance.
He thought. Not only was he like, oh, this reminds me of that, like, God, I just will make this vow to myself now and take, just hold space for the way I feel right now, then step on the elevator, push the button, and like go about my day. He was like, no, you know what? I actually am going to publicly pledge and let the world know that I'm thinking about this on my own private elevator.
Yes.
And pledge allegiance to
myself, between myself and the God above, and to women everywhere. I pledge this to you. Like, this I swear.
I love that he thinks that that would make a woman feel great.
Like, I'm sure.
That's a pledge that you should just be born with, that pledge. Like, that's not even a pledge. It's just like a life agreement.
I'm sure that's what he was like, yeah, women are going to love this.
He was like, women are going to love this.
But I'm like, that immediately, like, thankfully, it was immediately met with cynicism. And and then he got like, I think there was some article about how he like hit someone, some woman in college, or like did.
Do you remember?
Don't quote me. Allegedly, he abused someone in college.
Great. That seems like it would track for, right? A public pledge of non-domestic violence.
I bet he catfished.
I'm sure he's catfishing us all right now.
Did you see the movie?
Yeah.
The
thing that started it all.
Well done.
It was.
It freaked me out.
It really freaked me out. And it was an important, like, it's an important cultural affair.
I remember.
Have you ever catfished anyone?
No. I think I've, like, in middle school, I, like, maybe made, like, a troll account once to, like, mess with a friend.
Yeah. Or,
but I've never taken a picture of someone else. Like, I've never done that.
Yeah, no.
And I don't think it's been done to me. I've talked to guys on like Grindr who I'm sure are fake.
Yeah.
So I've been vaguely like low key catfish when I've showed up to like a Grindr hookup in New York when I was living there, and I'd open the door and the guy didn't look like anything. Like,
just like a full different person.
Yeah, and I was like, wow.
I love it.
And I still hooked up with them. But
MBD.
Yeah. But I don't know. I've never to take someone else's image and likeness and create like that. I would be again, like I would be like, I think I'd be projectile vomiting.
Yeah.
From just the pressure and the anxiety of like, what have I done?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you been catfished?
I don't think I've been catfished.
Have you catfished?
I've made like a fake like AIM account to like talk shit to a girl that was dating a guy I liked, but I think she knew it was immediately me. I think she was like, is this Lara? And I was like, and then logged off.
That's a power move.
Never again. Like, that kind of learned my lesson.
I think I made like an account and like trolled one of my friends who was like I was pretending to be like a ghost or something and like did something like creepy. But I've never, yeah, but like I know people who've like done full
cat. Yeah, yeah. I've known people that have done that, like,
that's
on
wild
Grindr
to me.
But just to like mess with people, I think.
Yeah,
which I think is a little like kind of funny, but I'm also like,
it's a little mean.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think I've been catfished, unless like I'm probably am by a couple people, but I just like don't know it.
I guess this qualifies as a catfish story, but not really. But I was... Have I told you about the Can Man?
No.
When I was in Brooklyn...
I don't think so.
When I was in Brooklyn, this guy messaged me on Grindr, and his photo was giant clear trash bags full of cans. You know how people in New York collect cans?
Okay,
did I tell you this?
I feel like...
Did I talk about this in the podcast?
Maybe.
Oh.
I don't know, but
Should I just give you
just
a refresher?
Just say it again.
His name was The Can Man, and his photo was just giant bags.
Maybe I saw you tweet about this or something.
I did tweet about
it. Okay, yeah, that's probably where.
Which I probably shouldn't have, because I don't like when people...
Well, I think that he
but whatever.
Is asking...
He is.
...for fame.
So it was a picture of Can Man. He was very close to me, and it was just giant bags of cans, and he messaged me and said, make sure to leave some cans out tonight. And I said, will do. Without question. I was like, okay, I will.
Yeah.
And then he said, thanks. And then a little later, I was like, I think I was devastatingly hungover, so I pressed, and I was like, so how long have you been doing this with the cans? And he was like, a few years. He's like, I usually do it at night when everyone's asleep.
Wow.
And I was like, that's cool. He's like, yeah, it's just something I do. And he talked about how he was kind of lonely and it's like an activity to keep his mind off it. And I said, well, that's good. At least you're passionate about something. And then we like kind of had a rapport, but then I felt like I was getting a little too like...
You're getting sucked into his can drama. Yeah.
So then...
So he collected cans at night.
But he
like
was,
legitimately was like a can.
Yeah.
Man.
And he was...
Not just like going on Grindr at night because he was alone.
No, he was. He would go around in the neighborhoods and collect cans.
Okay, I love
for
that.
For fun.
Okay.
Not because some people do it to trade in for money, but yeah. He was just doing it for fun. And he was going on Grindr and advertising, telling... It was like almost like a old wives tale, like leave your cans out for Can Man, you know, that kind of thing. So then a few days went by and I felt a little darked out by something he said, where I felt like I think he was like yes and it was vulnerable, and then he was like, you know, let me see your hole or like something, like
of course,
just like out of like, yeah, do you suck dick or something, you know, just some like, okay,
it's now, a real pivot,
yeah, from great pivot,
collecting cans,
yeah, hole
to
hole
just pick? A hole pick,
yeah,
yeah.
So then I was kind of like, okay, Can Man. And so I let him go. And then a few days later, I got off the subway, and I used to wear a red Phillies hat in New York a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off the subway and I went above ground and I went on Grindr, and I got a message from Can Man, and he said, I really liked your hat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And he goes, your red hat. I liked your cap, your baseball cap. And I was like, oh, did you see me? And he goes, yeah, I was sitting next to you on the subway.
No.
Yeah.
Did you ever talk to him again?
No.
That.
I think he met, I didn't, I think I blocked him then. I remember he tried to get me to come get a margarita with him one night. And then I think that the baseball cap was the final straw. And I was like, I have opened the crack, you know, released the Kraken. So that was, I guess, it wasn't really catfish, but like kind of.
He's a really complex character.
Can Man.
Can Man.
Maybe he's, I wonder if he's still out.
Do you think he, well, he probably was in your neighborhood, so he saw you a lot.
Yeah.
That's bone chilling.
Bone chilling.
I would have been like, send a face pic now. Just so I could identify.
I think he did send me one, and it was like very, it was a very blurry, strange photo. He wanted me to come get one of those giant, like, Michelada drinks with him at some bar in Williamsburg. And I was like, no. It was like a weeknight. He's like, come meet me for this.
You're like, don't you have some cans?
He sent me a picture of his... I mean, this is... shame on me for indulging in this combo for much longer, but... I thought we were going to maybe he was going to, like, teach me something about life and, like...
You were starring in like your own
I was like fucking
drama movie.
I was not in a good place at that point.
You
so.
Don't say you engaged with the Can Man on Grindr and you weren't in a good place.
That's a babe.
That's a major babe.
That was a babe.
I love him. I wasn't in a good place.
I wasn't in a good place.
I wasn't.
I was asking
place.
For it a little,
no,
but
I thought you were very well.
Yeah, I was. I was very unwell at
I
the time.
You were sound mind and spirit, just engaging Can Man.
So I was like allowing myself to be catfished by Can Man, but
I think you should turn Can Man into like an Oscar-winning screenplay, because I feel like in this
maybe that's
day,
what I was secretly hoping for. You know how everyone people are like secretly hoping like maybe this profound moment I can make into a screenplay.
Yeah,
you know, and like maybe some delusional part of me was like maybe I'll write about this, and then it was all shot to hell what he said. Hole pick?
Hole pick. And also, nice
or
hat.
Cock pick? You know, any, like, it was one of those variety, garden variety
you
Grindr.
You know you're a good writer when you can turn hole pick into just, like, a really touching moment in the script.
I was touched by him, and then, but then when he was sitting next to me on the subway, like, was how...
Not in a city like that. In a city that never sleeps.
In the city that never sleeps.
Can Man could be... anywhere.
New York City is my playground, except when Can Man is there.
You could have if you were doing a Sex and the City reboot Carrie Bradshaw.
My Mr. Big is Can Man. Like I like part my curtain and then I see him waiting there and
leave one can with smoke a cigarette and like,
yeah, that could be an episode.
Yeah,
that would I thought be... to myself, or maybe I went out and I left a can at night and then I came out the next morning, it was still there. And I thought...
Rejection.
Or maybe I thought, maybe there was never a Can Man. Maybe I was Can Man all along.
Mm-hmm. And then it shows you go into your closet. Like, we've never really seen your closet. But, like, the final shot is you see your closet and it's just filled with cans.
Yeah.
Instead of shoes.
And I turn it...
This is like Sex and the City meets the Twilight Zone. Yeah. Tales from the Dark Side.
Can you see Carrie like, and like, you know, the lavender dusk of June, New York, just like leaving a can out and just smoking it.
Her blinds, yeah. And then a can's just right on the stoop. She's always looking down.
Yeah, she's like keeps checking. She stays up all night checking to see if the, and then the can never comes.
Yeah, but it's just her.
I was can man all along.
I love that. Let's make it.
But it was a little catfishy.
That is a huge
like the woman
catfish.
In Catfish.
Yeah.
Who's like?
What was her deal again?
She's an artist, a really good artist.
Okay.
And she lives in Michigan on like a farm, and she has.
And they had phone sex.
Yeah. She had like a really she did this voice that was very alluring, and she kind of looked like Kim Davis, the anti-gay clerk.
But her pictures were not of that.
It no,
was like
it was
of
this
a
hot,
young, hottie,
this like 22-year-old woman, and she had a young daughter who was real, and but she said that she was making the art, so Nev thought she was this like child prodigy, and she was pretending to be the girl's older sister. And then she was pretending to be that girl's mom, but it was her the whole time. And then he went to the house, and they lived in like a barn with one of those stars on the side.
Yeah.
And she lived with her second husband and his sons, who were all, they were all like severely disabled.
Oh, yeah.
So she just had like this, she like got custody of them and like really was like this caretaker, so she needed some outlet.
An outlet, yeah.
And Nev gave it to her.
And then she catfished. It's kind of brave of him to admit that he was fully catfished.
Yeah, he was in love with her. He said, "I love you" at one point.
Yeah.
Wow. And he had like full on.
Anytime I think of Nev, I think of Kat Marnell just like destroying the hallway of his apartment.
No.
Yeah, because she, I think, lived with him at one point. She says in her book, she writes about how they like lived together, lived in the same building. I can't remember because it's been a while since I read it, but she was like on one and just like smashed every mirror in the hallway and just like wreaked havoc and screamed at him. And good. I kind of loved her for that.
She's amazing.
She's an incredible.
She's just always traveling.
She's a tour de force.
She's on tour.
Yeah. Doing God, I don't know what she's doing aside from just like taking photos.
I mean, I think her book did really well.
Yeah, I feel maybe like she's writing like a new one.
Maybe it's being turned into a movie and she's writing the screenplay.
Love that. Yeah, she's just traveled ever since.
God, was her book good?
Yeah, it was good.
I haven't read it. I want to.
It's juicy.
She's her like writing juicy, is just like,
yeah,
you know, it's like just has that packs that punch.
Mm-hmm.
It scratches that itch.
I want Lindsay to write a book.
She was going to. Remember in Oprah? Yeah. They and offered her like $5 million or something. And she was like...
My book agent was representing her at that time.
You told me that.
Yeah. Or like not him specifically, but I think his partner at the agency that he used to work at. We could have been New York Times best-selling soul sisters.
Right.
But instead, she's in Mykonos.
Well...
And I'm in L.A., and that's just the way the
sliding doors.
Yeah.
Nev. I remember he had his, like his retainer in at one point in the movie, and he was like he always like Max would like be like wakey wakey, and it was like Nev like waking up in their hotel room, and like it was so like he had like his retainer in and his pearly whites.
Nev.
Nice, like a nice neck.
Who do you think? What if Dina is like secretly messaging with Jeff Bezos?
Silicon Valley.
I hope that she's messaging with like a Silicon Valley like.
Oh, yeah, we're going back to Dina, by the way.
Yeah.
So this is like a sad story.
This is a sad twist that none of us saw coming for Dina, but makes perfect sense.
But like she's attractive.
Yeah. I mean, if Dina Lohan wanted to get married to someone, she could find someone to marry her.
But what is it about this guy? Maybe it's very telling of who she is and what's happening in her life.
That for 5 years, she's been fine to just like chat on the phone.
Maybe she's been through so much shit that this is like a stable force for her. It's constant.
I don't know. I feel like now we're going to have to watch Celebrity Big Brother.
I know.
Or like tune into their online, whatever it is.
I mean, what does Nana Lohans have to say about all this?
Nana, I feel like, would not approve. Lindsay tweeted something about it. She was like, break up with your catfish boyfriend. Yeah, she like said something about it, I'm pretty sure.
Like, can you text her that?
Yeah.
Why are you telling us? Like, I hate that.
I wish Dina would come on the beach house.
She never will. I don't think Lindsay talks to her really
anymore.
I think they have like a kind of semi-estranged relationship.
Yeah.
She was on Howard Stern recently to promote the show, and he said, are you still in touch with your mom? And she went, yeah. And it sounded kind of like, I think she's very close with her siblings, mm-hmm. but I think her parents, she keeps, which I think is good.
Yeah.
I think she maybe has at least had the sense to not have them so in her life.
Yeah.
I mean, she was alluding to that in the Oprah show.
Mm-hmm. That they were too much.
That her mom, she kept her kind of at arm's length.
Okay.
Because I think Dina, like, she might be coming off charming on Big Brother, but she...
Well, she seems like she's probably a child that needs to be caretaken even more than Lindsay does.
Yeah, but I think she also ruined Lindsay.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to say it. That's my take. I think Michael... Remember when NeNe Leakes went off on Michael Lohan?
What did she say?
She was on some roundtable entertainment show. I forget on what channel. And Michael Lohan came on and they were discussing something bad that was happening with Lindsay. Or he... Remember when he released that call Lindsay made to him?
Her
and Dina were fighting in the car and they'd like been in the Standard or some club in the meatpacking. And she called her dad hysterically crying saying, Mom is drunk and she's on drugs and she's threatening me. And he fucking released the tapes.
Michael Lohan is such a piece of shit.
And NeNe Lohan said, you are a toxic parent when he came on. She just went off and she was like, you are terrible. You have ruined Lindsay's life. You are disgraceful. How could you betray your child like this? And he called her fat. And NeNe just went off on him.
Yeah, I love that.
And he was so shaken and everyone on the table didn't expect it. And Lindsay was like, you are a bad parent. This is a bad thing to do to your child. She needs her father. She needs confidentiality. She needs trust. And you betrayed it. You're our toxic parent. And he's going, really? You fat, you know, you're a fat bitch and stuff. Ugh. Of course.
The oldest.
Classic abuse.
Yeah, but also like, man. That's not even an insult anymore.
No, NeNe was like, fuck this yeah. loser. But I was like, that was years ago. And I was like, NeNe?
God, a queen. Should we get into this episode?
Speaking of Queen.
Of
they go to
Queen,
they go
to the nightclub.
Okay, this episode was the weirdest of all the episodes, I think.
Yeah, I felt like...
It felt like a dream.
Yeah, it was very dreamlike.
Like, not in terms of... You know how everyone people say like, oh, it felt like a weird fever dream. Like, it's
it
like,
felt
this
like...
This actually felt like nonsensical... timeline.
A dream where it felt like a dream in the sense that like nothing happened. You know what I mean? Like, but you're in a weird setting and you're just like, when you're remembering fragments of the dream, you're like, oh yeah, and I was in like a field in some island in Greece, but we were just like walking around and there were goats.
Yeah.
And like that's it. Like you don't really like put together anything other than that and you're just like
And then Lindsay saves a lobster.
Yeah, that was the most compelling part of the episode.
We'll get to that later.
So this episode, too, is called Crossing Lindsay, which makes no sense.
No.
And even in retrospect, I can't think of how that relates to anything. I feel like everyone kind of gave up on this episode. Production.
But thank God they did, because...
We got the moment of a lifetime.
I think it means crossing her, like, don't cross Lindsay.
Like, don't. But then someone did cross her.
But then it's, like, a metaphorical thing. Like,
or Lindsay's crossing...
Herself.
Herself, yeah.
Lindsay looks incredible in this episode.
So
we were
taken aback by when she enters the room or the patio of where all the VIPs are sitting. She's magically de-bloated somehow and looks like 2007 Lindsay.
She looks like Samron era Lindsay.
Yeah.
Like Rachel Zoe, where she was. Not like the super where she was like scary.
Now she went totally blonde and was like a skeleton.
But just like red, tan, fierce.
It's like a little bit post Just My Luck.
Yeah.
Lindsay, like about to go to Coachella. Lindsay.
Wearing leather jeggings.
Yeah. Like really, it was like she was back.
She was back.
We hadn't seen her in ages. It's been years.
Yeah, but she looked really great. She looked different from every other episode there's been. Something happened to her. She did something, whether it be...
Kybella, speed, meth. Yeah. a juice cleanse of some sort.
I think it made it, maybe it was a cleanse.
I don't know. Maybe that vest she wore squeezed out some extra bloat. Like, I don't know what it was, but I want to know the secrets because she looked incredible. But
she
it was
herself.
Only for like a 48-hour period because later on in the show, the facial bloat was back.
But she
and I guess, like, you get older and it's just something you have to deal with. We've all been there.
Same. I mean, I go through bloat periods, but like, I was just like...
Every day is a winding bloat.
Every day is a winding bloat. You get a little less bloat and more bloat. But yeah, she looks fucking great. Her outfits were on point. We were saying that maybe she got a stylist because someone called an emergency after her denim outfit.
Someone called whatever the Greek equivalent of 911 is. And they were like, hello.
Panos.
And then Panos did. He was like, Lindsay is out of control. She wore, yeah, it was probably after the stick up on the runway where she made him Venmo her 200K. And then he came and she was wearing that outfit. And then he called Greek 911 and was like, Lindsay, I'm over this shit. Someone need to do something. Send someone here, a stylist.
So the Grecian government sent over a state mandated.
Yeah, a stylist.
And they Lindsay's outfits were on point this episode.
They got a little bit better. She was wearing her leg brace in one of the scenes, but it was pretty low key.
It was very low key.
Panos, so Lindsay's looking great. Panos decides to let Alex go visit his yaya.
On some island.
Papadios or something like that.
It's like very far away.
It's far away. It's going to be a trip.
It's going to be an overnight trip.
Has to take Ari and Gabby with him.
Which we were very like, why?
Yeah.
I didn't know him and Gabby were close.
No.
Ari, I thought maybe because he's also Greek.
Yeah.
But Gabby was like, I'll go.
It's just like, take her.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of weird.
He was also a little nervous to see Yaya because she's a little iffy on his gayness.
She does know he's gay.
But she doesn't really acknowledge
it. Like, no.
Yeah.
She doesn't know, like, whole picks.
Whole pick?
Whole pick?
She tries to set him up with women.
Yeah.
And he's like...
But this storyline had no resolution.
And no point.
No point. Because basically, I thought there was going to be like a heartwarming scene eventually where he and his yaya like took a long walk. And then he like told her and she was like, I love you no matter what. But like, he just is like, she's pretty old. And like, I don't want to hurt her or like
before
cause her any pain because she's like on death's door. So like, I'm just not going to say anything. But this is fun. And then they like chased some goats around
and ate like Ralph's cupcakes.
Yeah. And drank Sunny D.
We were kind of.
I was like, where?
We were a little. Yeah. Where were they? They were on some kind of.
It was not a cute.
Forgotten village.
It wasn't a cute village.
It wasn't a cute.
I was looking for some like lifestyle travel porn. Like,
we thought it was going to be Santorini esque. Mamma Mia.
I was looking for like Instagram.
Yeah.
Like worthy.
You said it looked like Virginia.
It looked like West Virginia. Looked like the bowels of West Virginia. And so did all the people that were there.
It was like the West Virginia of Greece.
Yeah. It did not look like Mamma Mia.
No. And.
They're just like feral animals running around.
What did look good was his yaya.
She looked incredible.
She's pushing 90. I thought maybe she was 69 at most.
Yeah. She's missing a fair amount of teeth, but like that's just how it goes.
But maybe that's the trade-off is you have to live in that place.
Mediterranean diet and like a relaxed lifestyle.
Yeah.
Living amongst the goats and dogs on chains.
Yeah, so like it's him... Gabby and Ari go and they talk to Yaya and she takes them around what seemed like a town that a rapture had happened in because no one was there. It was like a third of the people were missing.
The Greek town in the left and like leftovers era.
And she was it was like imagining the show taking place after the event.
Yeah. And she's like saying, this is my grandson to everyone. He has to like talk to them. He can also speak Greek. So
fluently.
It's like, why are you accompanied by these two people?
I don't know.
But then we figured out maybe they were there for protection purposes because he's gay and like it could be dangerous for him to be walking around in like West Virginia, Greece.
Or maybe he was just, maybe they just, or the production just told him.
They're like, you need some people to talk to.
Because you're not that interesting on your own.
Yeah.
Although
but collectively,
so
like no one was really that interesting in all of it.
They kind of canceled each other out and he should have just gone by himself.
Yeah.
I think it actually made it more awkward that they were there.
It was definitely more awkward. And like, I wanted to know more. They later on, like a part of this like weird Papadio journey is meeting, like, I thought that they were family members, but they're also just like randoms that live in like another village. There was that girl that was 19.
Yeah. Who was a family friend.
And then I guess like Yaya was trying to kind of set them up, but I wanted to know more about her. Yeah. She could like speak English. I was like, let's talk to her.
Yeah. I was sort of expecting like everyone, like their whole family with the town was like, but Yaya just like lives alone in this apartment and like,
and like loves cake.
And loves cakes. But there was no Greek food. It was just they were drinking like frappuccinos and like walking around like Morgantown, West Virginia.
Yeah.
It was like,
is this what Greece is like?
Maybe.
Now?
Are we like,
after their like financial crisis?
Do we have like a very like whitewashed view of,
are we just like idiot Americans?
Yeah, I think we might be.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just curious. This was a side of Greece I had never experienced, and I don't think I ever will.
So maybe
we
were enlightened.
Fine, so it was like a really cultural, like real moment for us.
Yeah, and we also learned that Alex wants to have like a traditional Greek church, Greek Orthodox wedding, which was a little sad when he was saying
sad because he was like, I can't do that because they like won't. Yeah, they like burn gays that try and enter the church.
And he talked about how his mom went through like a severe depression when he came out and like gained weight and like, I mean, that was pretty real.
Yeah. But I'm also just like, why are we watching this?
Yeah. I mean,
what's going on? Where's Panos?
Alex isn't really as cute as he is and charming as he is. Like, he hasn't really earned.
He doesn't have the chops to carry a storyline of a reality show.
Gabby especially doesn't.
No. I wish they had sent Panos and Alex down. Panos could have told Yaya how it is and just like explained everything to everyone one by one.
Lindsay should have gone.
Yeah, why didn't Lindsay go?
Imagine if Lindsay was in like West Virginia, Greece.
That is the kind of content that we signed up for with this show.
Her accent would be in full display.
Like, Lisa Vanderpump would have gone.
Oh, yeah. Because
Lisa's a true gay ally.
But she's also, like, morbidly curious and wants to, like,
yeah, she wants to get in people's business so she can use things against them later down the line.
But, like,
that was, like, a job for Lindsay.
They should have sent the entire cast, put them up somewhere, had Lindsay and Panos join them, and then, like, go out to dinner in the village, have, like, a true, like, you know, breaking plates, hoppa, and like Yaya, like coming out and dancing and doing like the horror or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that even?
No, that's like a Jewish thing.
But
totally. They dance too at wedding. Like, I've been to a Greek wedding. It was really beautiful. It is a beautiful ceremony. And then there's like lots of fun dancing.
It's amazing.
And celebration afterwards.
Greek people are so cool, but it's like Lindsay, if they had the entire cast go, then they should have just
should have him and Lindsay go.
Take a break from the beach club.
Yeah.
Like, I could have done a less taken episode where we go to another place with they should do it. I hope that at one point they do a cast trip somewhere.
Yeah. I feel like the only trip these casts are going to take is like back to America on a one-way flight back to America
or to the U.S. Embassy.
Yeah. Where they beg for mercy. They beg to be sent home. Panos and Lindsay should have gone with Alex to just say it straight. They could have made it into like a 36-hour round trip. Like, they land, they go. Lindsay's like, yeah, we need to talk to you. And then Panos could be like, he is gay. We don't give a shit. Like, this is how it is.
Having Lindsay console a 90-year-old Greek grandmother about her gay grandson would have been,
that's riveting television.
Riveting. But instead they sent Gabby, a girl with pink hair, and Aristotle, who is sweet, but
he's just like a empty smile, a human smile.
He's a sentient smile.
Yeah.
And she also like didn't know that he was Greek. I was like,
honey,
really? Yaya, are you good?
She is now.
Yaya?
Yaya? Yayas?
Hey, Yaya?
Yaya, I have to ask you something. Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Are you well?
Are you well? At one point, we thought Ari looked unwell. We thought Ari
had
and
a
Gabby.
Testimonial. Okay, so a lot of people, I think, are sick.
I said Ari has a chimney sweep cold.
He looks exposed to like coal, a coal mine.
His nose was really red and he looked pale.
In these kinds of houses, though, like when you're living in close quarters with other people, the minute someone gets sick, everyone gets the black plague.
Ew.
Like, I went to the Cannes Film Festival, like I told you about last time.
Get out.
And I had to stay. It was like for a... It was for like an internship program, and like part of the internship was like getting to work at the Cannes Film Festival and like have access to it. But where all the interns stayed was in another city called Cannes La Boca, which, as you can imagine, it was basically like Papadios. Like, it was like a gross town, like 2 miles south of Cannes. Like, I was like walking the streets one day trying to find like a postcard, and I swear to God, I heard like a man like abusing his wife, like behind like
a French
a storefront. Yeah, like it was like truly a town.
Country French.
It was horrible. It was like next to like stovepipe. Like, it was next to like a factory or like dump. It was like so not glam.
You were suddenly in like Slovenia.
Yeah, it was. It felt like very third world. And but just like a hop, skip, and a jump
that
to
makes sense.
Next to Cannes, the most glamorous place yeah. ever. Yeah. So I stayed and roomed with four. Yeah, it was me and three other girls in a room this size. And by the end
How
of it,
were you?
I was 23. I was in my, like, right after my senior year of college. And they told us when we got there, they were like, okay, don't like leave any doors open. Don't leave your screen, because we had a balcony, but they were like, don't leave your balcony door even cracked. Like, if you're in the shower, like a thief tried to scale the, like, people will scale the walls and steal your shit out of your room. So never leave the door open. And like the year before, a thief had scaled the wall and fell off and died in front of all the students that were like trying to intern. So they were like, just don't leave any door open or anything. And so we would all shower and it would get like steamy in there, but there we couldn't open a door to air it out. So it was just like a steamy bacteria jungle.
You were staying
we
in
all
a sauna.
Developed like the grossest cough, and like yet again I found myself
white
girl travel sickness when I was just trying to go to Cannes. And
you get the struggle.
So I understand what Ari's going through is basically what I'm trying to say.
White person travel sickness is totally real.
It's real and it happens. And I'm bringing awareness.
I'm so skeeved by the idea.
It was really gross. Everything was so dank and damp in that room.
Did it smell like mildewy?
It smelled kind of mildewy. I joked that it was like Vietnam. I was like, we're going back to Nam, because it felt like a jungle.
Were you all American?
All American. There was one girl that got like locked out of her room and tried to like scale the building, but she was wearing Crocs and then fell off and like broke her ankle on the very last day.
Was she drunk?
I don't know. She was just like...
Did you guys party?
Yeah. Are you kidding? I was just like fully... Like, we'd have to check in every morning at 7 a.m., like, physically check in with, like, a person to make sure that we hadn't been, like, killed on this vacation. But I made friends with, like, one of the, like, chaperones. So I got to a point where, like, if they would call your room over and over and over and get, like, physical proof of life if you didn't check in the morning. And one morning I was so hungover, I had gotten in at, like, 4 or 5 a.m. and like the phone rang like the loudest ringing sound you can ever imagine. And I woke up and just like lunged towards the phone and hit a glass that went shattering into the wall, like threw a glass into the wall by accident trying to get to this phone. And then she was like, hey, Lara, like, what's up? It's Victoria.
Lara.
Are you there? And I was like, yeah. And like, Victoria loved to party as a chaperone. And I would run into her at yacht parties. And she just.
How long were you there?
I was there for 3 weeks.
What? Yeah. I thought you were going to say 3 days.
No, 3 weeks. It was Cannes.
How long does Cannes go on for?
It's like 2 weeks. But we had like a week to prepare.
And you were just like partying every night?
I was a VIP. I was a VIP host.
You were? Oh my God. Oh my God.
I've actually been.
You've been what these people are.
I'm literally. I've done this whole thing.
So they just had like a bunch of like hot girls like be interns? It was like
they would. A group. All the students, there were probably like 70 people right. total, and then they split you up into various internships based on what they think you'll be good at. Some people worked for like at Access Hollywood, which had like a setup in like the American Pavilion.
That'd be me.
Yeah.
Boop 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 boop. Reporting live from Cannes.
Some people had to work for Harvey Weinstein.
Did you see him?
No. But some people had to work there, and like it would always be like the nightmare, like high pressure internship. Yeah. But then for some people, it like led to a job afterwards. Right. Some people.
Thank God you didn't work with him.
No, thank fucking God. Some people had to be on the green team, which just meant that they walked around the Cannes Film Festival picking up trash, which was really rude since you'd pay like $2,500 to be there and do this internship program, and then you're a trash man. They all cried when they would get like. Assigned their internship then
oh my God, knowing me, I'd probably get green team.
They were like devastated, like girls would be like and then they'd have to go pick up trash. But actually it's pretty good because you do that for like 2 hours and then you just don't check in and like go fuck off around like the south of France.
Right.
I was on like the VIP like host. I was like a VIP. I was a VIP host. So I would host these cocktail parties that overlooked the red carpet every night and like pour wine. And I worked closely with like, they had a chef program for like chefs that came there to prepare like hors d'oeuvres for cocktail parties. So I just hosted cocktail parties and poured wine and like lolled with people.
Was it just you hosting? Were there other girls?
It was me and like three or four other people. Yeah. But we just got to like pour wine and like watch the red carpet.
That's amazing.
It was fun.
Wait, how do they? It's like the sorting hat thing. How do you get? How do they
assign? I don't know. They just decide. Like one night we had to serve all these like British Airways, like VIP people, a sit down dinner.
So you're like catering?
Kind of catering, but more just like schmoozing and like.
Networking.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. I feel the pain of being assigned green team.
It's truly, it's haunted me for, I'll never forget people's like, faces.
You missed that. Thank God you didn't work for Harvey Weinstein, and thank God you didn't have to do green team.
Yeah.
I had the best job.
It was so fun because then I made friends with all the chefs and they'd let me like try all the food they were making and give me extra to take home and I could take like wine home that wasn't used.
You were in like the elite one.
Yeah, it was fun. And then all the like, chaperones, most of the chaperones like higher level from our program would go to these cocktail parties, so then I just like got in with them and was like lolling with them, and then from there it's just like adventures.
That's like the greatest thing ever.
I met Valentino's pugs in Cannes, not to brag.
Wow.
I met them just on a dock. I saw a man.
So you just like went out at night?
You just walk around, yeah, go out at night, try and go. The whole thing is like you try and go on yachts. Like you try to get on like yacht parties.
And you did.
I did get on one. And then I met a prince.
Who?
A prince, Lorenzo de Medici from Italy, who later I found out he and I like chatted all night. I had a boyfriend at the time, but I was like,
I was like,
I can still flirt and yeah. like. We chatted all night, and then he was like, come back to the Ducap Hotel with me, which is like the number one fucking hotel. And I was just like, I shan't be doing that. Like, I gotta go. I also had to check in at 7 a.m., and I'm not trying to like deal with that.
Right.
But I also was really in love with my boyfriend at the time. Otherwise, I would have hopped right on that dick.
Prince dick.
And so he walked me to the taxi stand and like bid me farewell. And
did he kiss your hand?
your kiss my cheek. I think we had a brief like lips kiss, but it was like a goodbye, like NBD kiss. And later, years and years go by, and I like Googled him, and he really was like a prince. And then a reality show on TLC comes out called Secret Princes, and it's a reality show about princes who live in like Georgia or like Austin, Texas, in a house together, and they have to date, and the women don't know their identities. And then they, at the end of the series, tell them that they're princes and invite them to come back to their home countries. And so on season two of Secret Princes, Lorenzo was a prince, and he looks like a fucking toad. It was not the same. That's a hotter version than how he... Yeah, that was exactly what he looked like when I met him. Sexy.
Holy shit. Wait, a real prince would never go on a reality show.
No. Princes, you're like not supposed to be in the public eye in that way if you're like true royalty. I mean, if you're trash royalty, you can.
He got married. He was cute.
He was, and then he went full Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. But then he went on Secret Princess. I was like, oh my god, that's that prince from the yacht in Cannes.
Iconic. I'm looking up his titles. House of Medici.
Mm-hmm. That's like a big house.
Yeah, they're the biggest.
Like, I think he's related to like Catherine de' Medici or something like that. Yeah,
the Duke of Florence. He's super legit.
I came back to Chicago and I was working at like a vintage clothing store.
Right.
And my boss at the time was this like older Jewish woman named Barbara. And she was like, how was Cannes? And I told her about it, and I showed her his business card. And she basically was like, you're a fucking idiot for not like getting with this guy. She was like, de' Medici, are you kidding me? And then like got mad at me. And I was like, well,
I would have been her.
Yeah.
You're kidding me? But I think you fared.
I did check I think in you at 7 a.m. and it was good. I was like, I'm not trying to like...
You would have... Yeah.
I'm really pushing it to the limit by like going literally to the other side of Cannes and trying to get to Cannes La Boca at 7 a.m. the next day.
I can't be at Ducop.
No. It's sad. Ducop. I really wanted to go to that hotel.
Is it Ducop?
Ducop, I think.
Oh my God. Ugh. Your life.
What a life.
That is a VIP host.
So I was a VIP host.
True VIP. That is like the ultimate.
I just like uncovered my own past thanks to Lindsay.
That is the most. If you're going to be a VIP host, you better hope. God, all the way. There's also like a nor'easter happening. If you can hear it in the background. The trees behind your house right now are. Like I thought someone was power washing something, but no.
No, it's just that we're in a wind tunnel.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of wind tunnels,
it's windy as fuck in Mykonos.
On Mykonos.
Do you hear that? Is like the wind level in Mykonos. We're getting natural sound.
I'm like gonna press breathing after a crime scene.
Do you hear that? That's wind.
It sounds like someone's power washing their deck. Like a dad is outside power washing a deck right now.
It seems like there's like paper blowing around. Carries on his, he's investigating.
Hello? No, it's just the wind.
Oh my god, the wind has blown the window open. It's fucking wild here in West Hollywood. Things are happening.
I just clutched my pearl.
The spirit of Mykonos is upon us.
Can you describe what I just did?
Carrie is shook by the wind. He closed the window and then walked back over to the couch and sat down clutching his pearls. Growing up in Oklahoma, this is nothing. Like, tornadoes don't bother me. This feels like I'm at home. You know, I'm like, I'm peace.
Have you seen a tornado?
I've seen like a wall cloud. And like,
does it sound like a freight train?
I've not been close enough to a tornado to hear it. Thank God. If you're close enough to hear it, you're probably dead.
Yeah.
My dad was in a tornado when he was 2 months old. One of the deadliest tornadoes in the history of Oklahoma ripped through the town of Woodward in Shattuck, Oklahoma, killed hundreds of people, and ripped the front of his house off and exposed it like a dollhouse. And he was in his crib and survived. There's a crazy article about it where it describes all the deaths. Like, they found people.
Did something happen to his mom?
No, but she lost all her friends. And then she was like deeply depressed, took it out on him. And then according to his therapist, that's why he's a bad dad. Because of that tornado. So think about that. Wind is serious.
That is horrible.
It's horrible. And this article talks about how many people, like an unexpected, all the people in the town were at the movie theater.
Oh my God.
And then a tornado just
I have to read about this.
You have to read
it. That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
It's terrifying.
Tornadoes used to freak me out as a kid. Twister.
They're scary. Yeah, Twister. That was huge.
Do you think Panos has ever seen Twister?
I don't know, actually. I would love to watch Twister with Panos.
We have diverged.
Let's get back. Much like this episode of Loewen's Beach House, we lost the plot.
I guess that's okay. Yeah, considering what we're dealing
with. It's on brand.
So they task the team with going out that night. Alex, Aristotle, and Gabby go off to Yaya's, and then the crew... They're supposed to go out into downtown Mykonos and like hand out business cards, flyers, promote people, do like the whole fishing thing that cults do.
Yeah.
Just seduce people. Basically go out and fuck people and to get into coming to...
To come to drive along the highway until they see like a weird road sign that says Lohan and then go pay a bunch of money to lay on the side of the highway beach.
And then crash their car into a rock.
Yeah.
Stumble out of the rock disoriented and go, hey, that looks like something. And it's Lohan Beach Club.
Yeah, it's Lohan Beach Club. Lindsay comes with a bandage and she's like, stay off your leg.
I will wash your feet.
No one touch this.
I will wash your feet. I will wrap you with gauze. You stay out of your car. And then they go and they like light the car on fire. Now you cannot move.
You will never leave.
You will never leave Lohan Beach Club.
So May, May has to tend to Akis.
So they are like, Lindsay and Panos are basically like, they are so jonesing to fire someone.
They hate May and they just want her to do something.
And they're kind of down on Jules.
Yeah, but they're like, let's just give them as many opportunities as we can to fail so then we can be justified to fire them.
So they get them set up with these two hot guys who are like, they too are in hospitality. They own some big brand.
Yeah, called Mykonos Pearls or something like that.
Their really names are Akis and Kevin.
Yeah,
or something.
I don't know.
So they're basically setting up May to fail and Jules. So they're like, we're gonna have you guys do it.
And Gabby. The three ones that are literally at the bottom of the totem pole.
Yeah.
And they force them to wear these like spiderweb ponchos and like plan.
They have like Lilu and Fifth Element, with the bandage outfit.
Except
not cute.
If you shredded it and put a hole in the middle and then placed it gingerly, gently over someone's head.
And then wrapped a tube top around it.
And so then they're like, these people have a rider of like what they want in their
It's like below deck.
Shack. Yeah. Yeah. So like, go find this. And
like
May.
Macaroons,
pistachio gelato.
Rosé from the
south
of France.
They want like Talenti ice cream.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, but I'm also like,
get out of here.
Yeah, fuck off.
Fuck you guys.
Fuck off. French rosé, according to Panos.
Yeah, so like from the south of France.
Have to go to like a Ralph's to get it.
Yeah. So then May is like, me and Jules are going to go into town and try to get the macaroons. And she's like, Gabby, you stay here. And Gabby's like, okay. Because
May can't read, I don't think.
Yeah, something's up with May. So she and Jules go to some bakery and they get a giant box of macaroons. And then at one point, May goes, I really want to eat it. And they notice they stole it. And then Jules goes, please don't steal a macaroon.
Do not eat a macaroon. And then May just like giggles.
And they had to get sushi.
They had to get sushi. They try to go to like the cooks at the beach house and ask them if
they have cooks.
Yeah, but like, why are you asking if they have, like, you can clearly read a menu.
Yeah.
So, like, by reading a menu, you know probably what ingredients they have in the kitchen.
You just really want to prove that May can't read.
Yeah, no. It's and like, so she goes in there and she's like, hey, do you have sushi?
And the guy goes, we have sashimi.
And she goes, she just sits there.
And then she goes,
do you have French macaroons, you know, and just makes like a hole sign with her hand, and the chefs are like, literally stop talking to us.
Well, he goes, yeah, sashimi. And they go, okay. And they go, also, do you have gelato? And he goes, sashimi. So only they only have sashimi.
Only sashimi.
Like, I wanted someone to just come out and go, they don't have anything, okay?
Where's Alex when you need it?
Yeah,
he
Alex
was there because he wasn't going on that thing yet, because Gabby was there too.
He was
so
like,
they could have had Alex at any point in time.
But they want them to fuck up.
Yeah.
So
Lindsay was like, Alex, come here with me. And then they like took Alex off to like go drink a mimosa.
Yeah,
on the
they
beach
love
and, like,
Alex.
Gab about like Grindr.
And yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah.
And so.
Dennis is like, what are you going to tell her?
Yeah. Yeah. So strike one against May.
Strike.
Because this is her.
This is her. She's the leader.
She's the leader, which Tennis is so.
Tennis designates her as a leader, which is truly meaningless. It's just another thing
and mean.
To be like, yeah, it's mean. It's a cruel. He's bullying her.
So then they do it right.
Yeah.
Right? But then we don't even see it.
No, because they go to the grocery store, get whatever they need, like the macarons and gelato, come back, and then the guys come to the thing and there's like a shot of them tending to them in their little shack. And you pointed out, when you look behind at the rest of the beach club, it's completely empty.
There's no one there.
There's not a single person.
It's like those documentaries about North Korea where they bring you to those hotels and no one's in them and they just give you a full banquet, but it's like fake bread.
It is North Korea.
It's like smoke and mirrors.
Like, what was that?
I don't know.
It's too windy also to like be anywhere. Like, the wind is like whipping around.
Jules
and, like,
is like her
Jules,
blonde
it's
hair.
Just like all in her face. Like, you can barely see.
And Lindsay's like, this is good. But then
Lindsay's always cutting to her, always watching from where we don't know.
Yeah. But then they completely gloss over it. They make all this ado out of it. And then
they give up.
They don't, and then they don't show us the actual serving of these people. And then they cut right to Gabby, Alex, and Aristotle on a ferry going from Mykonos to wherever the fuck her yaya lives.
Yeah. Aristotle looks ill.
He looks ill.
Gabby looks like she was dead and then got buried in a pet cemetery and came back to life.
I think Gabby's been sleeping outside since the slapping
Since the slap. She's only felt safe outside.
She made a little home for herself on the side of the highway, and that's where she sleeps every night.
And that every car goes by, like, sprays gravel kind of onto her face and body.
She wakes up every morning with gravel in her mouth and like things in her eyes. Ah,
she's like, it's either this or get slapped again.
Yeah. So she's
struggling, but she's being strong.
She is. And she also sees this trip as a way to just not be in the house because she doesn't feel safe.
True. And she also relates to this journey because she reveals that she's bisexual.
Yeah.
So like, props to Gabby for that.
And she said she brought her girlfriend around and her family had a hard time with it, or
yeah,
something.
Her family was like not understanding.
Yeah, which is so everyone is bi on like the show.
Yeah, I love the bi contingency on Lohan Beach House is strong.
So cutting back to the house, they go out for the night to
drink,
to do the fishing thing, getting people, luring people into the club. So the whole rest of the crew minus those three go out to this place called Queen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're told by Lindsay, it's just them. They're all out and they're getting tanked. And then all of a sudden, Lindsay just comes out of nowhere into Queen and sits down at the table with them. And they're all completely shook and terrified.
She walks out of 2007.
Looking incredible.
Stunning
Lindsay, like the Lindsay we know,
and sits down at the table and is like,
why are you drinking?
Why are you all drinking? You're supposed to be networking.
You're supposed to be handing out business cards
and
fishing.
She yells at them.
She berates them.
Then she's like, let's go inside.
She's like, then she goes, let's go clubbing. Like, she berates them for drinking and then is like, now let's go to the club.
And so she leads the way, like walking. She waltzes into this nightclub knowing that she's looked better than she's looked in a decade.
Oh, she's...
Her hair is like... Everything about her is just like different,
on point,
and refreshed.
Yeah,
and she makes the entrance of a lifetime.
It was the vest.
It was the vest. I'm pretty sure.
From the previous episode,
we need that vest.
I want it. Whatever Lindsay's on, I want it.
I'm
going
to find it
drugs,
and add it
in
to
terms
my
of this beauty regime she's on.
The Amazon wish list. I feel like there's some sort of weird acupuncture. Maybe she saw like a Greek witch who did like a spell.
The DJ.
Yeah, the DJ.
But so she leads them. Yeah, she like saunters in like a skeleton, like, you know, those like dancing skeletons on Halloween. That's
the
Lindsay
of yesteryear. Yeah. Back to club it up.
It felt like a different person.
Yeah. And then she just makes everyone sit in a row on a bench next to the wall. And then one by one, like, goes down the line and like attacks them.
And shames them.
She starts with May and she's like, you're tired. Be honest.
And Meg goes, yeah, I'm pretty tired. And she goes, guess what? We are not allowed to be tired.
We're not tired here.
We are never tired. And Meg goes, okay.
And she like holds up her drink, which I think is like a Red Bull. And then she goes, that does not help. And then like berates a few more people. And then she like retreats to a little tiny window where Panos is waiting for her. And then they both spend the rest of the night just staring out at everyone from that teeny tiny window.
Yeah, like Panos is there. He Panos was there the whole time.
Fully been there.
Yeah.
Panos was on the call sheet with them to like go there. Like, I feel like they all took the same car to this restaurant. And then Lindsay was like, go eat dinner because you haven't eaten dinner.
And drink.
And have drinks or whatever. And then 20 minutes into their dinner, she showed up and was like, why are you drinking?
But I love her. I love the two of them, like the mean older siblings watching in the corner at like a child birthday party.
A tiny window.
And then Mike says the funniest thing ever. He goes, welcome to Mykonos where nothing makes sense and we're all confused all the time.
Yeah, that was
iconic.
And
I was like, damn. Mike is like, I think kind of resigned.
He's
a little sad.
He's sad. He's not getting any action. He doesn't get to go to a gay bar.
No.
They're in like the gayest, like,
yeah, we talked about
town.
How like it's like just turn Grindr on.
Yeah, and like Mike just hasn't, like, he's not even gotten like a storyline on the show yet.
Maybe he will get one.
I pray.
I mean, Alex got one before him.
I know. We had to deal with Alex in like West Virginia for like,
I wonder if there's some bi prejudice about Mike.
Maybe.
But Mike is just, I feel like, kind of losing his mind. And at one point he goes, I don't really care about getting people to come to the club. I just want to drink.
Yeah, he wants to party.
But he's not getting to.
No, and he's still, like, now he's filled with so much cum that it's, like, causing his brain chemistry to, like, he's, like, retreating into a depression.
You know when Storm and X-Men channel conjures weather and her eyes go white? That's, yeah, Mike.
Filling up with semen.
With jizz.
He conjures a storm and, yeah, it's a cum storm.
But it's weird, like, it's kind of hard. None of them look happy.
No, they're all miserable. Would,
like,
you
none
be,
of them look,
would you be happy in this circumstance?
But like on VP, like they look like they're at least like having fun.
Oh yeah.
And like enjoying, and they have like fulfillment in their jobs. These people look confused, beaten down, terrified.
They've been at
homesick.
It for 14 days.
It's day 14.
It's been 2 weeks of the most unclear, like, nondescript, like, a nothing job that's being called a job, but is, like, just nothing.
Maybe this is the point in, like, the cult breakdown, like, you know, how we said it's, like, a cult and they're breaking. Yeah. Maybe this is the point right before they're completely brainwashed where they're, like, it's their last grasp on knowing something's wrong.
Yeah.
And then the next phase is just complete shutdown
and submission
and submission
where they're just like, we don't know what to believe in anymore, and like they're all they seek are answers, and so they get so desperate for answers that then Lindsay can sweep in and give them all the answers they've desperately been seeking.
I am the one you've been wanting. I am the one that you've been seeking. It is me. That is me. There's a video that they're going to show them in a few days where it's just Lindsay going, hello, I am the one that you want. I am the one you've been searching for. It is me. It is me. Look at me. Look at me. And just doing that for hours, and that's coming soon. I am the one you have been seeking.
Also, like, it's worth noting that as they get more and more confused and sad, Lindsay looks better and better.
It's like, it's full Suspiria.
It's like, yes.
She's like Marcos.
She is Marcos.
She is.
And Panos is Tilda Swinton.
He is Madame Blanc.
We've cracked it.
We've cracked it. And Mike is like, maybe.
Mike, like, is Dakota.
No, Mike is like Mia Goth.
Mike is Mia Goth.
Yeah. Dakota is someone else. We're not sure yet.
Yeah, who would she be? I'm trying to think. We don't know.
Maybe Gabby or Sarah.
Maybe Sarah.
Yeah, she is. It's her.
It is her.
She's going to like reveal herself to be the mother of size.
The mother of all size.
But Lindsay is stealing their life.
Lindsay's stealing their life force.
They are totally existing in this realm of complete disorder and disarray and confusion. You're right.
Yeah, Lindsay
it's
went
fascism.
To a witch. And she said, I'm sick and tired of being bloated. I want to go back to my 2007 self.
Yeah.
And the witch told her exactly what to do, is that you have to pitch a show to MTV that will allow you to bring
hot
bisexuals. They must be bisexual or gay to Mykonos. and confuse them and suck the life force out of them.
Suck their esteem out of them.
Yeah, it will take about 2 weeks and then you will emerge looking fresh as a daisy.
And Lindsay goes, okay, I'll do it. I'll do anything.
And but then she paid them the 200 grand that...
That's who it was too, the witch.
Yeah.
But it was the DJ.
It was the DJ.
But yeah, it's like, it's funny. It's like hyper-normalization.
Mm-hmm.
Like my friend has told me about that. And it's like where you just... Fascist regimes use it where you just confuse the fuck out of the society that you're
out of everyone
over,
until
they're just so confused that they don't know what to believe anymore, so they'll just like do whatever you want.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing.
That's exactly what Lindsay's doing.
Like
maybe Putin taught her. This feels like a Putin.
This is very KGB shit.
This is.
Oh my god! This is literally, it. We've cracked it.
Vladimir Putin.
She
told
is Putin
Lindsay to do this.
I feel like Putin.
I feel like Putin.
This is it.
This is.
This. Oh my god!
Fucking get the New York Times on the phone.
Get them on right now.
Get up. Call them up. What's
call
their number?
Up. What's her? I have it in my phone. Hold on.
Call the. I'm ready.
I am. This is it. This is what she Putin meant. Mentored her. She has been mentored by Russian KG, like Russian Putin operatives.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Maybe Lindsay has something to do with the Mueller investigation. Holy fuck.
We are
on
literally
something. Tell us what you think. Do you think Lindsay's involved in Russian collusion?
The Watergate reporters, whose names escape me at this very moment, but I know who they are because I
throat.
Just listened to an episode of The Daily that talked all about them, so I know what I'm talking about. But
Deep Throat?
Yeah, those guys. Woodward and Bernstein? You guys Google it. Not my problem.
Wait, but this makes so much sense what Lindsay's doing. It's like some people think Putin, the Malaysian airline plane. This
no.
all goes back to... So basically, what I'm trying to pitch is that this entire show and our podcast... all can be traced back to Malaysia 370.
What if these VIP ambassadors are not from America, but
they're
they
from
are
the plane.
From Flight Malaysia?
Oh my god. Well, no, but people, there is a theory that Putin made the plane disappear as part of this hyper-normalization to exert power and confusion over the world,
mm-hmm.
and to be like, we can make an entire plane disappear.
Yeah.
So,
I...
This is all...
spoke
tied.
To a numerologist who said with great certainty that Malaysia flight 360 or 70 was definitely going to come back. Like, the story is not over. He didn't say when.
I believe it.
But, like, just think about that.
Have you read that New York Mag article that guy wrote who was a talking head during the whole... You know when, like, CNN would play it every minute of the day?
Mm-mm.
370.
Yeah.
He was always on and he got like...
He was a 370 head.
Yeah, but he got like poo-pooed by the other pundits because they were all like, you're full of shit. Because he was like, the plane was not... It didn't go down. It was landed in Kazakhstan in the desert by the Russians. And he found like a whole... He has... I'll send you it. It is wild. Google... Everyone listening, Google Malaysia 370 New York. I think it's New York Magazine. And he just has this entire theory that like is sound.
This podcast is brought to you by Malaysian Flight 370, and we are now 370 truthers.
Lindsay knows what...
And it ties into Putin and into Lohan and Lohan Beach Club.
Maybe it's under the Lohan Beach Club.
It definitely is.
Holy fuck.
We've cracked this.
We've cracked this.
We're onto stuff.
We are.
I'm, like, shaking.
Also, like, if you want, please... dial 911 right now. Something is... maybe it's the wind.
It's totally the wind. We get 5150 tomorrow.
Know that it's Russia.
Yeah, it's fully Russia. Putin is behind this.
Wait, but in actuality, though, like, Lindsay is using fascist tactics on these people.
Yeah.
Her and Panos are just breaking them down.
We're like... If you don't believe in anything else that we've just said for the past 10 minutes, just know this.
She's using hypernormalization.
Bingo.
And Mike called her out for it.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all. Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
So anyway,
Alex's cute homophobic grandmother
homophobic
is just
queen.
A darling.
I mean, we've already talked about it, but like she, like, yeah, this town, you just, it's not what we were expecting slash hoping, but there was a charm to it. And yeah, we learned about Alex's family, which is like kind of blah, blah, blah. His dad was in the Navy.
Yeah.
His mom is from Greece.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about all this.
Yeah,
Jules and Mike flirt.
By the clothesline.
By the clothesline.
It's very old school.
It's very, like, yeah, it's of another era.
But the more they, like, interact, the more I'm like, they're just friends.
They are.
Like, she's just like, this is my gay friend.
Yeah, they're laughing.
Like, he's like,
there's no sexual chemistry whatsoever.
No, I'm not discounting, like, I know he is bi, but like, yeah, they're but just it's
like, it just is, they're just lol friends.
Yeah.
Then the true, what this episode is truly about at its heart and core takes place, which is a series of events that we watched no less than like six times in a row.
We spent 20 minutes
just rewinding and watching a truly Emmy Award winning piece of television unfold before our very eyes.
So it starts with Lindsay appearing on a dinghy pulling up to the dock of Lohan Beach Club. She's wearing a wetsuit. She's looking so thin and great. And she
attempts to get out of the dinghy, but just falls into the ocean.
And the music, the music's like, do, 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 do. And then when she falls out of the boat, it goes,
ew. And so she falls in the ocean, kind of flops up and like tries to shake off. And then it comes to the shore and goes, hello, friends.
Hello, my friends.
Hello, my friends.
But it's like, what an entrance. Yeah. Everyone's watching. She knows everyone's watching her entrance.
And she just literally hurled herself off a boat
in a wetsuit
into the sea. And then,
is she surfing?
I don't know. What was she doing? I don't know. It was just like her summer look. I think also she was trying to jump off, like her mission was to swim up to shore, maybe. I don't know. But it was like a not a graceful.
So then she appears on the beach. She is surrounded by like bodyguards and an entourage. She walks up to the beach shower in her wetsuit.
Takes a shower.
It's like very like, And then the first thing she does post-shower
is she takes to the raw bar, and I thought
opens a froze like an ice box,
and it's like all these fish and lobsters on ice. And in my mind, I was like, oh, this is really smart. Like, this is an LVP move, like checking on the day's catches that are going to be served later, like making sure everything is
right
in place. No, that's not what she was doing.
She takes out a lobster that she claims is alive.
Yeah.
And she says, we do not have live lobsters at Lohan Beach Club. We don't do this.
We don't put live lobsters on ice.
We don't put live. She goes, this is not what we do. And then panos. And then she starts walking away with the lobster.
Yeah. Which she kind of weighed. She picked various lobsters out.
Yeah.
And then
decided one
was alive.
Which I don't know.
I don't think that any of those lobsters were alive. Because I feel like, aren't lobsters in a tank when they're alive?
But yes, but also,
and
why?
And then on ice, the seafood is dead.
But why is the first thing you're doing after a shower, the last thing I want to do is touch shellfish?
I'm so confused by it was a real turn of event. So
then Panos
she
goes,
kind of juggles some lobsters, decides on one, and then
heads to the sea.
Takes back to the sea from whence she came.
And Panos goes, this is the difference between me and Lindsay. Lindsay has a big heart. She's very sensitive.
She goes, she's a sweetheart.
He goes, and I don't have many feelings. I don't have many emotions.
No.
So then Lindsay walks up to the dock and goes, without words, plops the lobster into the sea.
And it sinks.
And the production, the show added sound effects. So as they follow it as it sinks, and you just hear it go.
And it kind of gurgle.
It's like a death rattle.
Yeah. And did she take the rubber bands off of its like pinch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not.
I don't know. We might need to watch again. But that sinks to the bottom of the sea where it sits curled up in a dead lobster fetal position. Like, it doesn't scamper away. Like,
it doesn't swim away.
And then Lindsay smiles at the camera, and it just goes to show, like, she is so compelling. Because she goes, like, how do you like that? Saving a lobster.
And then she turns around and walks.
Yeah.
But everyone on the beach is watching.
Everyone on the, like, it cuts to multiple people watching with their mouths agape. Just at Lindsay marching a lobster. She has to walk like almost the length of a football field in front of all the people, patrons of Lohan Beach Club, to drop a dead lobster into the
drop
sea.
Lob.
I feel like that she was giving a sign or a signal to someone.
I feel like you're so right. It was such an example of like why she's famous. Because she's just so weird and like impulsive and like, that was a very impulsive thing to do.
Yeah.
And
She like decided she never woke up thinking about that lobster.
No, but she is captivating, right?
Yeah, like when she addresses the camera, you cannot help but like want to watch.
And also totally like breaking the wall. Mm-hmm. That would never happen on Vanderpump.
Yeah, she's now just speaking directly to the camera. She's done with like low-end beach club as we've known it to this point.
But it was like, is she trying to show her humanitarian, like her. And then I said at one point, it seems like I asked you in complete earnest, do you think she has a big heart? And you said, the greatest answer, you said, I think she does, but she doesn't know where to put it.
Yeah. She needs to be turning her heart towards herself instead of like a lobster that's like dead on the ice.
Maybe it was a human that was turned into a lobster.
Yeah.
But also we were saying just on a science, I don't know much about biology, but like, or marine biology, but I know that not all lobsters, like you can't just, they have to be in their climate.
Yeah.
And the Aegean is a very specific climate of the world. So like, how do we know that lobster is going to thrive?
Like, unless it was caught on a boat, literally, that was like off the that.
Maybe that's what she was. Coast. Did she find it herself?
I don't know.
Like, was she out like spearing?
I thought like maybe these lobsters are like shipped in from elsewhere, like, or they come from like a lobster farming.
Yeah, you were saying like, how do we know it's not like from one of those like creepy factory farm, like yeah, underwater? Like,
we don't know.
So like this thing could have just died because the water's too warm, or
it didn't look alive.
No,
the shot that lingered on the lobster, it seemed like it was just sinking to the bottom of the sea, where it remained until it was slowly eaten by other lobsters and like crabs and shrimp.
But Lindsay looked so triumphant. How about this?
I thought I was so distressed, and I thought to myself, I can do something good.
I can make something happen.
Yeah. This was her like Black Lives Matter moment, except it was with a lobster. Her like activism.
Yeah. Her questionable moments recently, as of in the last few years, of like saying like semi problematic things.
Her like when
she thought she could remedy by saving a dead lobster.
By taking a dead lobster,
a dead or dying lobster,
off the ice that was supposed to be served at her own restaurant. Like, she's fucking with her own profit margin. I get that, like, going to another restaurant, but, like, they're probably upselling that lobster for, like, $115.
You were like, she just lost $60.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was this one of the strangest things I've ever seen on reality TV. Like, I'm not just being hyperbolic. Like, that truly was... That made
strange,
me
beautiful,
but that made me so happy that like that was like, yes, I'm gonna watch the shit out of the show until it's over, because that moment, if nothing else happens in this season, the fact that she set a lobster free in the Aegean Sea is all I need to.
Yeah,
proof of life. Talk about proof of life.
A true proof of life. I wish though that she. Like next season, if the show gets another season, I think that they should do away with like following the ambassadors as much and really just focus on Lindsay.
Well, I read some early reviews of when this first came out, and it said, we don't care about anytime Lindsay's on, you're just so fascinated by her.
Yeah.
But that anytime she's not on, you're wondering where she is.
Yeah.
Which is true. Cause she's like, come on.
Don't like, if you're going to focus on the ambassadors, I guess like
make them interesting.
Make them stay in Mykonos. Don't take them out of Mykonos to West Virginia and then expect me to give a shit.
Also, just I
like they can be there, check in with them, but really make this journey about like Lindsay trying to build her beach club brand. And Panos, for the love of God, more Panos,
more Lindsay is our like. If it was just about them, it would be the coolest shit ever.
Yeah. So I just like choked up.
You're getting like verklempt.
I'm overwhelmed. Lindsay posted a gibberish video on her Instagram about a season two.
What did she say? I didn't.
Someone
see it.
Tweeted it at us. They said, "Please discuss." And she is like in one of those. Here, look at your Twitter mentions, or you might have a lot. It would be hard to find, but it
don't give me that much credit.
But someone was like, please discuss. And she's in like a little like cutie Valentine's Day dog face filter that's also a voice changer. So she's talking in a baby voice.
Let me look.
About season two.
Oh, I had to go so far back.
So far back in the mentions.
I'm just like a big Twitter, you know.
He's a big Twitter personality. Please follow @ Eukaryo.
Do you think Brenda and Sarah are cute together? Or are they going to destroy what I've worked really hard for? I'm really interested in knowing what people think about this. As we're going into season two. I know, right? So weird. Maybe Jonathan Bennett and Miley Cyrus will come aboard. My favorite people ever. I'm really interested in what you guys think. Can you let me know if I need your help? I can't do this on my own, as you all know. I mean, I can, but I'd really appreciate your help.
The hashtags are also Apple TV.
Apple TV. A, they're not going into season two, so that's just like a lie.
But she said MTV, hashtag MTV or hashtag Apple TV. So is it one of the, like, is she maybe pitching it?
Yeah, I think she's now trying to say, like, Apple TV, like, you buy it.
Wow.
But, like,
I hope that comes off clear on the...
it barely comes off clear just IRL to try and listen to her talking. And I feel like someone in her camp told her, like, you need to promote this show more, like maybe go on your stories and talk about it. If you want a season two, you're going to have to like get a little more involved. And so this is what she did.
Let me make it the most complicated way to follow it.
And like really hard for people to understand what I'm saying. I love when she goes, I can't do it alone.
But I can.
But I mean, I can. Lins. So yeah, maybe there will be a season two. If so, hopefully it features more Lindsay.
The rest of the episodes is kind of blah.
Yeah. Like, Panos is a fashion icon, as per usual. He wears like a very powerful scarf.
He wears a shirt that looks very Kris Jenner.
Yeah, and a shirt. And he has like a black hat at one point where he's thin as a rail with like white pants, black t-shirt, black hat.
He looks so
incredibly
good.
Handsome.
He...
there's a new VIP client that arrives.
Well, before that, Kayla, who we found out, some very amazing listener to the podcast sent us a screenshot of, or sent us a post from last year of Kayla and Sheena.
They're
friends.
Friends.
They're legit friends in real life. Like, they've known each other for a while.
Yeah.
And they're in, it was a picture of them in Vegas, like, partying at some beach club, or poolside
Classic.
Club together.
Classic.
And because we were saying how much she looked like the trashier version of Sheena, and they're literally friends, which is like fucking
incredible,
really weird.
Yeah, everything is connected.
Kayla and Sheena.
Kayla. They look at each other, and it kind of is like a mirror. And Kayla likes it, and Sheena's a little confused. I think Sheena thinks that Kayla is just her reflection.
Maybe they've like.
I think Sheena's like, I looked at myself in the mirror, and then I could talk back to me, but I had like tattoos. It was so weird.
She's like at the pool club they were at in Vegas. She's like, "This is my reflection." That's how she introduced her.
This is my reflection. I call her Kayla.
And then Kayla goes, "Ah!" And then they both go, "Ah!"
Kayla goes, "I'm not a reflection. I'm a person, you stupid bitch." And then she goes, "Ah! Isn't she funny?"
She's so funny. Doesn't everyone's reflection sound like her and look like her? Isn't everyone bringing their reflection to the pool? Because I do.
Sheena still to this day thinks that Kayla is her walking and talking reflection.
Maybe Kayla pretended to be Sheena with Rob.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, she's like single white. It's a little single white female.
It's a tad bit, but I'm here for their friendship.
And was Kayla on The Bachelor? Or was she on some other...
I thought she was on like an MTV
was
show.
Was she on some other MTV show?
Was she on like a road, real world?
Oh, she was on the... Wait, let me look really fast. And then
I think she's a challenger.
Because someone, whoever, I'm going to look up this amazing
message. She's a reality vet.
Yeah.
Stassi style.
Right.
She's in it to win it. But Kayla comes for Brent.
And Panos.
And she says, we need to all get on the same page. Everything is
which
really
is true.
Confusing. Yeah, which is like, she's bringing up a good point. She is kind of disrespectful in her tone, though.
Yeah, she like totally...
She's like trying to tell Panos what's what, and it's like, you don't tell Panos anything. You open up a pathway of communication with Panos and allow him to lead the way. Kayla's also been talking a lot of shit online.
Shit, where was that? It was like recent, right?
What was it?
The picture that me and you both got in the Instagram message.
Oh, was it in Instagram messages?
I think so.
We can't
find the message. But
we tried.
Thank you to whoever sent that. Basically, yeah. Sheena and Kayla are like
their BFFs.
They're cosmic twins or whatever.
Yeah, and we ended up in like a K-hole that included us watching like a video of Alex Jones get slapped
and hearing about Ryan Adams and Mandy Moore.
Yeah, so we're in a dark place now.
But so other than Kayla calls Panos out, he's like, you can't talk to me, I'm your boss.
Yeah.
Basically, you all have to just put up with the, you know, constant confusion that you're in.
Mm-hmm. And deal with it.
And deal with it.
Not my problem. And then he like doesn't want to hear about anyone's personal drama. So he doesn't really care that Brent is like making Sarah sleep on the couch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brent is like, he's not really in this.
No, thank God.
Also, we forgot to say that Alex at one point is the reason why he goes to Yaya. The reason why Panos doesn't want to hear about it, he sends him there because Alex is starting to get homesick.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, this feels like unsafe.
A good time. Yeah.
I feel unsafe here. So Panos like doesn't want to hear about anything. So he'll just like,
he'll send you away.
He'll send you to Yaya.
He'll send you to your home of him at grandma. He's like, you think it's bad here? Wait till you
maybe
get.
That's why he did it.
Yeah, he's like, you have a good here. So there's a new VIP client arriving who's also named Sarah, and Panos is describing her, and he says she was an actress, then she was a model, and now she works in hospitality, which means she is a sex worker. It's a kind, not even a kind, but just like a very diplomatic way of saying someone is an escort.
Yeah. And she makes her appearance and it's whack.
She gets out of the car in slow motion with a wide demonic smile that literally took a piece of my soul.
She looks like that sexy Eminem.
She does look like the sexy Eminem. I said she also looks like in The Devil's Advocate when like Charlize Theron starts seeing people's demon faces. It's literally Sarah the VIP client.
She snarls.
She snarled. A live slow motion HD snarl.
Her plastic surgery journey is just,
it's bonkers.
Out of control. Panos all but curtsies to her.
He does. He bows to her. And then
kisses her hand, and then he makes Brent and
Kyle
be her companions for the day.
Yeah,
and at one point Brent is tending to her, and she just has all the. She makes him clean off her terrible looking.
Who wears high heels to a beach?
Sequin high heels with like a loose sight, like
strap
that has an oil slick quality to it.
Yeah, like she wore. It's like. Lucite, yeah.
Lucite.
I like the way you say it.
Lucite.
Lucite. Lucite.
Lucite!
And they're like rhinestone, like Steve Madden heels. And they get obviously sand crunched up in the rhinestones because like it makes no sense to wear those shoes on a sandy beach. And then she makes Brent like brush them off with a towel and the rhinestones fall off. And then she's like, stop.
And Brent calls her out for being cheap.
Yeah,
like he's like a very queenie
zirconia.
Yeah, he has like the most like bitchy gay like drag, and it's mm-hmm. And then he goes, "I'd rather be at the bottom of the ocean right now than hanging with this girl."
And then he just pieces out.
Yeah,
he's like done.
He walks into the sea for a minute and considers it,
and he goes and curls up next to that lobster that Lindsay threw in there, and he goes, big spoon, and the lobster's little spoon,
and they just go. They make whale noises at each other.
Yeah, they confide in each other. They tell each other their deepest, darkest.
Yeah.
And the lobster tells him, go back. Your journey isn't over yet. It doesn't end here. For Brent, me, it ends here.
For me, it ends.
For me, it's ended.
I am in the place between life and death.
Yeah.
But you're still in life.
But for you, there is still hope.
Go back. So basically, Brent went into death. He went into the afterlife, and the lobster told him that it's not time for him yet.
Yeah.
So he said, go back and complete your task. mm-hmm. with Lohan Beach Club. So Brent said, okay.
Brent's like, fine.
And he crawled out of the ocean.
Yeah. He kind of shook his hair off. And then when
he brushed off his Chaz Dean hair.
Where is there's the beach club is not that big, or is it?
No, they just confuse us. They make it look way bigger than it is.
So where do you think Brent is hiding when everyone's like, where is Brent? Like,
in the ocean, in the sea. He's in the Aegean.
Yeah. That's like, the legit, only place you can go for respite.
He's hanging under the dock.
Is to drown yourself. Face death. And ask death if it's your time.
And that is in the form of a lobster.
Yeah.
That was just recently murdered by the owner of the beach club.
But unfortunately, death will always tell you it's not your time yet when you're at the beach club and trying to, like, willingly kill yourself.
Lindsay made a deal.
Yeah, she made a deal with the devil.
So then...
she made a deal with that lobster, an unspoken deal, when she was, like, looking at it and it spoke to her like that fish in The Sopranos.
Oh, my God. Your Sopranos journey.
I know, it's a lot. Kyle then has to carry Sarah, the escort,
to another cabana. And then Sarah, the like the hostess, comes over and they have a talk about their... they had kind of a similar background.
They bond over both of their names being Sarah.
And their dads being sort of...
dicks.
Yeah. And then she goes to Panos, I like... what is his name, Kyle? And she goes, yes, Kyle. And that girl. And he goes, Sarah. And she goes, yes, they are great. But Brent, lazy.
Yeah, she shit talks Brent.
She's like, Brent's... she actually sounds more American than Lindsay.
Yeah.
She goes, Brent is fucking lazy. Sarah and
what's his
Kyle
face?
Are cool.
I feel like there's so many people with K names. Yeah. Like, when Kayla and Kyle were thrown into the mix, it really threw me off.
Yeah, they're not bringing much to the table.
No.
It's so random. Like Kyle, they're...
I feel like no one knows what's going on, including the production staff, producers, editors. Like,
it's so weird. But so then it ends with the real drama. Gabby and Jules get assigned to... Lindsay's gay friends come.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like the VIP clients for the rest of the day. Jules and Gabby get assigned to them because Panos really... Jules and May, sorry. Panos
Gabby's
really
wants...
Panos is at Yaya's. Jules and May...
this is Yaya. You've lost, like, everyone's name.
I know.
I love it.
I'm in the same confusion that they're in.
Yeah, we're so, all... it's... Sarah's... can we talk about her highlighter really quick?
Oh, yeah. Sarah has oil slick highlighter on.
It's really...
she wears a lot of makeup.
She wears a ton of makeup
for the beach.
Like, don't you get hot? Doesn't that add another layer of just, like, it's like wearing a sweater on your face when you wear that much makeup? Wouldn't it?
It's
like, how does your face breathe?
I guess you just get used to it.
I would not be able to sustain.
I mean, like my nana used to say, my nana used to tell my sister and me that we had to always suffer for beauty. So
you would have to suffer for beauty.
Yeah,
she like put that on you as a spell.
My
just
nana,
like
she just
said.
Always said, my sister was putting on her prom shoes and they were hurting her. My nana said, suffer for beauty, dear.
Wow.
So maybe Sarah's following that journey.
I love.
But yeah, it's like very intense highlighter. But the real other cray cray thing that happens is, so Gabby is not Gabby. Jules and May are tasked with this new VIP client at their cabana with Mike.
Yeah.
Jules and May decide it's a good idea to go because...
the client hasn't arrived. They've been standing in the hot Mykonos sun for like 2.5 hours waiting for this client.
So they decide to go to the other side of the beach, to another beach that's not Lohan Beach Club, and try to rally...
Pass out
business cards.
Flyers and
business cards.
Seduce people. Offer hand jobs to get them to come over to Lohan Beach House.
But let's be real. They're just going there because they just are bored and they don't want to do work.
Jules has a cocktail.
Jules is drinking a
cocktail.
Jules
has her purse and a cocktail. Like, she's taking a walk on the beach.
So then Panos is so excited because the VIP people come and they're not there. So it's just Mike dealing with them. And Panos is like, yes, finally I can fire someone. So then Jules and May come back, and May, while they're gone, by the way, May has a straw hat on and it keeps blowing away.
Keeps blowing off into the ocean. Death is calling to her.
And it's very, you know, it suits, because then Panos yells at them.
He goes, where were you?
Where were you? And they go, we're trying to...
They're like, we went to the other side of the beach. We're passing out business cards and trying to sell more chairs. And he goes, there are no more chairs to sell. There are no chairs available. And Jules goes, I know.
We wanted to sell some chairs. And he...
Jules goes, yeah, I know. I know. Just like totally owns up to it.
Jules gets it. Like, I don't want her to get fired because I really like her. Okay, good.
I don't think she will.
Are just like, we hate. I like the show because there's no rhyme or reason to anything. And they just decide, like, we hate these people and just, like, let us fucking fire someone. And finally, production was like, fine, you can fire May.
So they bring May in, and Lindsay's like, almost look. She looks like she's either hiding, holding back. I don't know what I'm saying.
Tears or like a laugh.
Lindsay's like, like she's so like, she's like, I've never done this in my life.
I think she just gets so nervous
that she's like one of those people that laughs when they're in nervous situations.
Like, it's turning into nervous laughter.
Panos is like, he's, you know, Panos bringing his hands out. He is ready to go.
Mentally, he's fired her. He's lived 1,000 years. She's dead. He's gotten the news about it, processed it, and like he's on another planet.
So they fire. Lindsay's like, you know, unfortunately, we're going to have to let you go. And then she tells May that her duty now is to go home back to New York and find herself.
Yeah.
Which is actually
really do some work on yourself.
Which is
when
kind
Lindsay
of great
tells
advice.
You that it's really she should do that after the performance that we saw on the show. That's the perfect advice.
And then May is in her confessional and she's like, I'm never gonna have a chance to work with Lindsay again.
It's like, honey.
And they like
good thing.
They give her a hug and she just like leaves and that's it.
But then it says next week shows Lindsay grabbing her and like running off into a bathroom with her. Lindsay's like, now we can finally party together.
That's the deal. If you get fired with Lindsay, you get to like
you get to
do drugs.
Do a rail of coke off her tits, and then she sends you home. She's like,
then you have to go on a plane on coke
immediately on a plane on some really wild coke, and come down off of coke
over the Atlantic
on like a seaplane going to like Greece International Airport.
You have to do like you have to do coke for an hour in a bath.
You have to do only rail coke off of Lindsay's tits for an hour until you are literally on the brink of an overdose, and then she puts you on
a seaplane and then
without your luggage.
Or your
She just puts you on there and she's like, bye, have so much fun, work on yourself.
and then you're in Athens International Airport without a passport, without luggage, without an ID, and you're just wandering around.
Yeah.
And you have to find your way home. That's her test to May. Can you imagine anything more horrible than, like, doing a bunch of blow and then going on a plane?
No. That sounds like hell on plane.
Ha ha, bye. Good luck to you.
Have fun. Enjoy customs. I've lost the plot on Lindsay's accent. I don't know what that was. It just came out of my mouth.
I've lost the entire... I don't know what this is about anymore.
I don't know
anymore.
Where we are.
This season makes no sense.
This is an episode where I truly was like...
Well, look what the material we're working with.
Yeah, it's difficult.
But I think we made it worse.
We
exacerbated the disorientation you probably felt watching this by... talking about what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with it.
It's fine.
I hope that you're not too lost.
I hope that you also check the Lohan Beach House Instagram, because it posted just a photo of Sarah and it said, how fucking beautiful is motherfucking Sarah?
And you said, I sent you that, and you said, it's definitely Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah posted that. She
yeah,
got the login.
Can we all take a minute to appreciate how motherfucking beautiful motherfucking Sarah is?
It was like so effusive about how beautiful Sarah is, and it's like, okay, like, cool, Sarah.
Or it was Lindsay.
Or it was the other VIP Sarah who got the thing, and she's just now Sarah's number one fan. I love bonding with someone over just your names being the same.
I know.
That's a real thing, though. I would love, like...
I mean, one of my best friends is named Carrie, who your friend, your close friends with,
spelled the same.
A female, and it's spelled the same.
Yeah, actually, and, like, that's real.
We're very similar, and like she's one of my best friends because she's amazing. But like we call each other Boy Carrie and Girl Carrie. That happens.
It's a good way to.
But that was definitely Sarah.
Yeah, but they don't have the connection that you and Girl Carrie have.
But I love how beautiful is motherfucking Sarah.
How fucking beautiful is motherfucking Sarah? Can we all just take a minute to appreciate how fucking beautiful fucking Sarah is, please? I hate that tone in social media posts.
Motherfucking Sarah.
Can we all agree that Sarah is the most beautiful motherfucking person on the motherfucking planet?
Yeah, Twitter does that a lot. I'm like, let's take a moment to appreciate that. I'm like, what?
Can we all not?
Or I love when people go, this. When it's like a thread. This. This.
I feel like I've thised before. I know it.
I have too.
I felt the shame of a this or a
I
shame.
Totally, I have
thised so hard.
I have thised too. But like, why do we this?
This. Your face.
This really funny comedian, do you know John Daly?
Mm-hmm.
He one time did, it was like he went this, and it was like one of his own tweets, and I thought it was the, I think he's the funniest person on Twitter. This and it was like something of his own. I have this. I'm not shaming you. I've done mood. I love mood.
I love a mood.
Mood.
But like I've like done mood with like collages.
Sometimes
things get a little out of control.
I love earnest tweets.
You know what?
I'm not shaming you.
I don't feel shamed.
I have this many times.
I don't feel shamed by you.
Or I go, I've done this. Thread.
Thread. Thread.
Thread. My best friend was visiting like last year, and we were at this party, and we were talking to this girl who like I like didn't really understand her because she just spoke in like a breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Like she spoke and at one point everything she said, she would go mood. Like anytime you said something, she'd go, that's a mood.
Yeah.
And then my best friend goes, his name is Matt, and he goes, wait, what's my name? And she goes, she didn't know it. Because she walked in and she was like, yeah. And she just went, she looked at him and went, mood. She went, moody.
Mood.
Mood.
I love mood, girl.
Mood.
Mood.
So then Matt and I kept going, mood. I just love that. She goes, what's your name? He goes, what's my name? And she goes, mood. Like that was her default. It was iconic. We were shook.
That is really good.
We were shooketh. Mood.
That's a power move.
Oh yeah.
Mood.
Can you imagine just
I never know anyone's name.
Just saying mood.
It was kind of her mood.
Thread
this.
This. On your own tweet.
On your own tweet.
Follow John Daly on Twitter.
Follow him. He's hilarious. Follow Lohan Beach Club.
Follow me.
Follow Carrie at eCarrieO. Follow me at Lars Marie. Subscribe to this podcast. Rate it 5 stars.
Follow Kayla. Follow Alex. Follow Hot Mike.
Follow Mike.
Request to follow Janita. Request to follow Brent.
Yeah. Thanks for the gut person that sent us the Brent jeggings.
Keep sending us this stuff.
Yeah, send it to us.
Your help.
Your help. Mood. Fucking mood. Send
mood.
It.
Mood. Lindsay would say mood.
Mood.
Okay. Well.
Well, that's it. Like and subscribe to all your friends.
Tell your friends about this podcast.
Tell your friends it's a real mood.
Send us your favorite mood.
Send us your favorite mood this week. Tweet us. And when we post about this podcast, retweet and just go this.
Say, yeah. If you follow us on Twitter, just retweet from the Sexy Unique Podcast Twitter or one of us and just say thread.
Thread.
And then we'll know it's you. We'll know it's real.
This or Thread or Mood. Those are the three passwords.
Mood.
Mood.
Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.